Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. This morning I'm returning to a series I've been preaching on the occasion of baptism out of the book of Proverbs, generally titled Proverbs for Parenting. And what we're looking at in this series are the specific ways that we find Solomon instructing his son in the way that he should go, and that helps us, encourages us as parents and as a church to instruct our children in these things. So we'll begin reading in Proverbs 3 at verse 11, and we'll read through verse 29. The text will be verses 24 through 26. Proverbs 3, verse 11. This is the word of God. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. And thus far, we read God's word here in Proverbs 3. As I said, the text is verses 24 through 26. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the Holy Scriptures. And we are thankful as well for what the Scriptures tell us about thy word. That we are to be a people who do not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of thy mouth. And so we are thankful that we have the word that proceeds out of thy mouth for our souls. We pray thy blessing then upon the preaching as it expounds this word. And we pray that thou wilt strengthen us in our faith so that the fears that we have in our lives would be driven away. And when we face giants and great enemies in our lives, may we remember the one who is greater and stronger than any enemy that we face. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I reflect back upon my own years of parenting, one of the things that is a danger that I found, at least for myself and for us, is that when we think of parenting, we often think of parenting behavior. And it's certainly true in our parenting, we address behavior. We address the defiance of our children. We address those moments when they're very young and they begin saying no to everything. We correct the times when they lie to us or they lie to someone else. We correct the times when they don't love their brother and sister, maybe take something away from him or they hurt her. But the danger for us in this is that we only view parenting according to behavior, and then especially as behavior modification to simply make our lives easier as parents. And when that's our focus, then we're going to do things that we probably shouldn't do. For example, and I know my own propensity to do it as well, we want to bribe our children to obey. If you do this, I'll give you this. If you do this, you can do this. And very easily we want to bribe them. Or there's a lot of theories of parenting out in the world about manipulating basically our children to get them to do what we want them to do. Now, today I'm not going to address all of those different aspects of parenting, but what I want us to see and understand today is that parenting is not simply about the behavior of our children and addressing that. Another thing that we must address in the lives of our children is when they are afraid. When they are afraid. And in fact, some of their behavior might be because they're afraid. Sometimes our children lie because they're afraid of what the consequences might be for speaking the truth. Or they might be angry because they're afraid. Or there might be screaming uncontrollably because they are afraid. And so we're reminded here this morning that in our parenting, we don't simply address behavior, but we also address what's on the inside. We address the inner man in our parenting as our children grow older and they come to understand these things better. The reality is that in our lives as parents and in our children's lives as well, there are times when we struggle with fear. And I'm not just talking about small fears, I'm talking about big fears. Times when we're trembling in fear, when we're overcome by fear, we're fearing something that we're facing in our lives. Our children face things that are big and important to them, and sometimes we as parents do as well, and those fears can be paralyzing for us at times in our lives. Solomon, as he gives instruction to his son, he addresses fear. And that's what we have in the text that is before us this morning. Solomon is teaching his son to deal with fear in a God-honoring way. And from Solomon, we learn as parents how we are to address the fears, the very real fears that our children have, following the model of Solomon, and really following the model of using the wisdom of God to help our children in those fears, and in helping them, we are helped as well with our own fears in life. And so that's what we're going to consider this morning. Wisdom that delivers from fear. That's our theme. Wisdom that delivers from fear. We notice first understanding fear, secondly hearing wisdom, and finally living fearlessly. In the text, we find first of all that Solomon is addressing with his son the fear factor in life. And we should notice how Solomon speaks about fear to his son. And we want to understand then what fear is according to what Solomon is saying here in the text and what we find in other places in Scripture as well. To put it succinctly, fear is this. Fear is a response to danger. Fear is a response to danger. Fear is not simply a feeling or an emotion that we can't help And that's evident from the text, because in the text, Solomon gives some direction. He gives some commands to his son. And he says, thou shalt not fear. Thou shalt not be afraid. So it's not simply an emotion or feeling that we are unable to deal with in our lives as the people of God. But let's understand what fear is as Solomon speaks of it here in the text. He uses two different Hebrew words for fear, but essentially they mean exactly the same thing. The root words there both have the idea of trembling, shaking in fear. So the idea is that there's a fear in which there is a panic and a shaking. The language that we're familiar with is a panic attack. Panic, fear, heart palpitations, sweating maybe, frozen in that moment, not knowing what to do. That's what Solomon is talking about here. Not little things, not small things, but this great fear that can overtake at a certain time in life. Because fear in those moments is fear of a great danger. Remember, fear is a response to danger. There's a great danger, and so there's an understanding in facing that danger that I'm helpless. I'm needy. I don't know exactly what to do. And it seems like I'm going to be overcome by whatever danger it is that I face. And we know that there are different responses to those dangers. There can be the freezing. There can be running away from it and trying to escape it. There can be anger in fighting against those things as well. But Solomon here, not only does he describe fear then, he also describes the dangers that give rise to this fear in our lives. Verse 25, he speaks of two things there. He says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So first of all, he speaks of a sudden fear. This is an external danger that arises suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere. We weren't anticipating it. In Solomon's day, that would be an army that shows up outside the walls of Jerusalem, and they're surprised that that army is there. They weren't ready. They weren't prepared for it. And now there's this trembling. There's this panic. What are we going to do? And that goes along with the second danger he speaks of. He speaks of the desolation of the wicked. Literally, the idea is the destruction of the wicked. So Solomon here has in mind the great dangers or the great enemies that the people of Israel faced in their history. So just think about it from an Old Testament perspective for a moment. Think about it according to what we read Moses saying in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and then again in Deuteronomy chapter 9. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 28, Moses is preparing the people for what they're going to face. And we read there, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakins there. Moses is relating the report of the spies who had gone into the land of Canaan and come out and given this report and said, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And we've seen the sons of the Anakins there. There are giants in the land. Then in Deuteronomy 9, verses 1 and 2, we read there, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? So the people of Israel were going to face these enemies that were greater and stronger, better trained than they were. There were giants in the land. And they faced giants. Later it was Goliath. They faced the armies of Moab and Ammon and the Philistines, and we've been hearing of some of those things in our series on the book of Judges. They would face forces and nations that seemed invincible because they were stronger and taller and mightier. And often the response to those kinds of things is fear. Not a little fear. Trembling. Being afraid at something unexpected, dangerous, and threatening. It's not just that the people of Israel in the Old Testament faced giants and faced enemies that were stronger and taller and mightier than they were, but we face some of these things in our lives today, but they just look differently. But they're very real nonetheless. It happens when our children are very young. They're reminded how helpless and weak they are when there's that loud boom of thunder in a thunderstorm and they're afraid. Or it seems like they're alone and they're afraid in their bedroom in the dark at night, because part of it is their mind is not developed in such a way that they understand, even though they can't see one, that the person is still right nearby. For them, if they can't see them, it seems like they're simply gone. And so they might be afraid then when mom and dad leave and they're left with a babysitter and little Johnny's clinging to mom's leg and doesn't want her to go. And then when they get older, there are other fears that they have. For some, it might be the fear of getting a bad grade on a test, and that's not a fear for others. But for some, it might be the fear of getting in trouble. For some, it might be the fear of making and keeping friends. For some, it might be the fear of not making the team, getting cut from the team. There are many things that are paralyzing in fear as our children face these things. Those are just a few of those things. And then there are bigger things that they face. Some children are facing fears when they see mom and dad aren't getting along very well at home, and they're facing family trouble in their homes, and they face all kinds of hard things. But it's not just for children, because they're small and everything seems big. For us as parents, for us as adults, we face fears in our lives as well, don't we? Maybe it's the giant of finances. It's medical bills that are stacking up, the tuition amount that is increasing as the kids are getting older. And what we make isn't increasing at the same pace. Or maybe it's the enemy of cancer. It's finding a lump and having to go to the doctor and find out what that is. And maybe you can't sleep because you're convinced of what it probably is. Or maybe it's at work and there's this certain person who calls you. Maybe it's a fellow worker, or maybe it's a client, and you know what's going to happen when they get on the phone and you see the number or you get the email and there's some heart palpitations and you're wondering how this is going to go. Or there's fear as maybe moms. Kids are sick, or it's been a rough day already and it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And how is the rest of the day going to go? All kinds of fears that we face in our lives. But we want to understand more than thus just the reality of fear and dangers that we face in our lives. We want to understand that there's something wrong with fear. There is. We have to face that when we look at this passage, because Solomon is saying to his son, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Solomon commands his son not to be afraid. So we want to understand what's wrong by living in fear. Well, the problem with fear and living in that fear is it's the opposite of trusting in God. When we're living in fear, what we're doing is we're erasing God from the picture. The idea is that when there's this great danger, when there's this great enemy, that eclipses God in our mind and in our hearts. That thing, that person, this situation becomes bigger and greater and mightier than God himself. You see, fear, when we continue living in it, is failing to look at what is happening with the truth of God. It's believing the lie that the enemy is greater and stronger and mightier than God. Fear happens when the thing we fear becomes greater than the sovereign God. That's part of it. Fear distorts who God is. When we remember the promise we heard in the baptism form this morning, that he is a God who averts all evil or turns it to our profit, we look at what we're going through and say, how can this possibly be for my profit? How can this be for my good? How can this enemy be for my good? And that's part of it. But there's more to fear than that. When we're living in fear and giving in to these fears, this is really the response of self-preservation. If that thing has become greater than God in my mind and in my heart, then what I'm doing is I'm trying to find my own way of escape because God's way isn't the right way. God's not able to give me the way of escape. So the response of fear is a response of self-preservation. I'm trying to find my own way of dealing with the enemy that I'm facing in my life. Just to give an example, think about the people of Israel. When the report came from the spies, there are giants in the land, and the cities are walled cities, and the armies, they're strong and they're powerful, and there's one after another. What did the people do? Well, in their fear, they didn't do what God told them to do. God said, go into the land and I'll give it to you. And what do? We're not going into the land. Fear leads to disobedience. And fear led to them trying to find their own way to deal with the enemy that they had faced. The same thing is true for us. In our fears, we are focused on self-preservation instead of doing what God calls us to do. In the end, fear is selfish. Fear is selfish. When we give in to fear, we're more concerned with what we might lose than loving God and loving the neighbor that is around us. And so we see this morning there are so many aspects to fear in our lives. The dangers are real, but so often we give in to fears, and I speak to you this morning as one who knows that myself. It's very easy to give in to them. But Solomon teaches us that when our children are afraid, we have the opportunity to teach them how to deal with fear with faith. How to teach them to deal with fear with trust in God. Notice what Solomon does. It's not a hard admonishment. It's not as if Solomon's angry here with his son because his son's so angry. Don't read the commands in that way. Don't read them with a stern voice. No, Solomon, in compassion for his son, he's saying, son, that's how he addresses him earlier, my son, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. My son, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. This is the command of encouragement to his son. Son, don't live in fear. And Solomon especially does that when his son's going to bed. He knows how difficult that can be when there's a fear that's overtaken to go to bed. How many times are we as parents especially dealing with fears when our children go to bed? They're afraid of something. They come out at night. They're afraid of something. They're crying about something. They come out because they're afraid of something. They can't sleep because they're afraid of something. And it's not just our children. Maybe it's you right now, or maybe it's you in the past. I can't get to sleep because I'm thinking about something and I'm afraid. And Psalm is saying these are the moments to gently teach our children about fear, to identify their fears, but also to help our children look to God, who is mightier and stronger and greater than all of the dangers that they face. And so we are to hear wisdom. Wisdom for our fears. Now take notice again how Solomon does this. He brings wisdom, the wisdom of God and his truth, to bear on the life of his son. Solomon doesn't simply say to his son, "Son, stop being afraid. Period. Let's move on." That's not Solomon. Instead, he shows him why he should not continue to be afraid. What Solomon does is he brings God back into the picture. Notice that. Verse 26, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." So we see and understand here that while fear erases God from our minds, fear and the danger that we face eclipses the power and the love of God. What Solomon does is he reinserts God into the picture, and that's exactly what we are to do as parents with our children, and it's what we are to do as parents in our own lives. Bring God back into the picture. When we're living in fear, we take him away. Bring God back into the picture. That's what Solomon is doing here in the text. And the idea is, as Solomon does this, he's using sound wisdom to deliver from fear. Notice the context here in Proverbs 3, verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And he goes on to describe how wonderful wisdom is. It's better than rubies, it's better than silver, it's better than gold. "All things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." And then 17, "Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." So what Solomon is doing is he's taking wisdom and he's applying it to fear. And that's exactly what wisdom is, isn't it? Wisdom is the application of biblical truth to our lives. And so Solomon is taking knowledge and understanding, the knowledge of who God is, the understanding of what God does, and he's bringing that to bear upon the life of his son. And he's saying, in the midst of fear, this is the way of wisdom. This is the way of wisdom. But we understand wisdom always presupposes knowledge, so Solomon is bringing the knowledge of God for the fears of his son's life. What we learn here then is that as we teach our own children, this is what we must do generally, is that we must constantly be pointing our children to God. Whether it's behavior or it's fear in their lives, let's continue to point them to God. One of the things that is a danger for us as parents is we point them to ourselves. "Oh, you don't have to be afraid. Dad's right here. Mom's right here." And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to say. But if that's all we say and all we teach our children, "Depend upon me," well, we're missing something. In fact, we're missing what's most important. And that is we're to point our children to God. And we point our children to God because of the very truth of the covenant that we are reminded of this morning. We point our children to God in our parenting because we understand and know the truth of the covenant. And the truth of the covenant is God has established with his people a relationship of love and fellowship. We are children of the one true and living God. We are that because God has done everything to bring us into this relationship. And this relationship of love and fellowship is not a relationship just for Sundays. It's not a relationship just for our family worship. It's a relationship for all of life. so that we as the people of God are always living in relationship to the God who is our Father. And what that means is that this God who is our Father is always with us. We've been looking at that as we've gone through the Heidelberg Catechism, but that's the reminder here too. This God is always with us. And that's what we're teaching our children as well. When I can't be there, there is one who is with you, even when I'm not, because he is always there. We bring God back into the picture. We can't see him with our eyes physically, but yet we see him with the eyes of faith to know that he is with us. And so that's what we're teaching our children through the whole of their lives. But now we get specific. It's not just teaching them what it is to live in relationship to this God, but there are specific things that Solomon sets before his son here. And essentially, what he sets before Solomon is God's sovereignty or God's power and God's love. Solomon is saying to his son, "Son, Jehovah God, he's our confidence, he's our refuge. He is the only one who can help us. He's the only one who can help you because he is God." Notice that in verse 26. "For the Lord shall be thy confidence. He'll be your refuge and shall keep thy foot from being taken." We see, first of all, the sovereignty of God, the power of God. And that's so important that we teach that to our children. We take them back to creation. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and everything that we see around us came into existence because of the power of his word. That's how powerful he is. And that's what we hear every Sunday at the beginning of our worship. "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." We can set that before our children, which is repeated in the Psalms. "Remember, son, remember, daughter, our help is in the name of the Lord in this time of trouble, with this enemy, this danger. Our help is in the name of the Lord because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth." He's the God, according to Psalm 121, who never slumbers or sleeps. When you're sleeping, he doesn't. He's watching over you. He's with you when you sleep. There's so many things we can teach, or ways we can teach them about this, but one of the ways is using Old Testament history. That's why it's important, moms and dads, that we teach our children the stories of the Old Testament. Because there's example after example there of how God delivered his people. Think about what we read in the baptism form this morning. God defeated Pharaoh and his army. Remember the predicament of the people of Israel? Mountains on both sides, the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh and his army behind them. They were sitting ducks. There was nothing that they could do, but God did it. He separates between them darkness and light. He opens up the Red Sea, makes the path dry, brings them across the Red Sea safely. Then God takes away the darkness from Pharaoh and his army, and they go into the sea, and God causes the Red Sea to come crashing down upon Pharaoh and his hosts, and Israel's safe. And that's just one instance of it. We're seeing that in the book of Judges. You see that as you go through the Old Testament, time and time again, there are times God even said to the kings of the people of Judah, "You don't even have to fight. You're just going to be spectators. Yes, the enemy's there. The enemy is great, but I will send that enemy away." God is the God who saves and protects. That's what we read this morning in Psalm 27, or sang this morning in Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then David says this, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host, though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident." David says, if I'm all alone and a whole army is camped around me, I will not be afraid. Why? The Lord is with me. He's powerful. The victory is always His. And so that's part of what we teach our children, the sovereignty and the power of God. And so as I reflect back upon my own parenting, I see a deficiency in pointing my children to God and His greatness and His power. Let us, as parents and grandparents as well, keep pointing our children to the power of God. And then along with that, pointing out to them the love of God. This is why you're safe. God loves you with a perfect love. Know that. See what God has done. He gave His only begotten Son. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, we read in Romans 8. He loves us so much that He made us temples of the Holy Spirit and has given us the Holy Spirit who comforts our hearts. We teach our children that the love of God is first. We are loved and we loved Him because He first loved us, and there is nothing that can separate us from that love. One of the great enemies and dangers that we face in our lives, I didn't mention earlier, but I should have. I mention it now, it's sin. It's temptation. It's the devil. And there's sometimes that we're afraid of sin. And in some ways you'd say we should be, because of what we deserve for that sin. And there are consequences for that sin. And maybe it seems like because there's this sin that's in my life, and children struggle with that too. They know they shouldn't do something, but they find themselves doing it again. And mom's talking to them about that again, and maybe dad's spanking them for that again, and his love for them. But again and again, and we as adults face that too, again and again, we're struggling with this giant of sin in our lives. But we know that God in His love and power is able to give us victory over that. And so we and our children need to see the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ that paid fully for all of our sins and that conquered the evil one as well, so that He is simply in the end a servant of our Savior who is ruling over all things. And so we keep teaching our children about these things. They can't hear it enough, of the power of God and the love of God and the salvation of our God and the relationship that we have with God and how we are to live in relationship with Him. And when we understand these things, then we begin to live fearlessly, living fearlessly. That's what Solomon is speaking of here in the text. Verse 24, he's saying, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Sleep shall be sweet. I think we all know how sweet a good night of sleep is. Especially maybe for young parents who aren't getting a full night's sleep and they're up in the middle of the night, and how wonderful it is when finally that child sleeps through the night and there's a full night, 7, 8 hours, or maybe even more of sleep. It is sweet. But it can also be one of the struggles for us, not just because children wake us up in the middle of the night, but we're thinking about things. Maybe we're exhausted, we fall asleep at the end of the day, but then 3 o'clock in the morning rolls around and we wake up and then the mind is going right away. Or maybe for others of us it's the opposite. I'm more of a have a hard time getting to sleep because I'm thinking about things, and once I'm sleeping, I'm usually fine. But we think about things as we go to sleep. We think about things when we wake up, and sometimes our dreams even indicate that we are thinking about some of these things. And we can address these things with the Word of God. I mentioned earlier Psalms 3, and in a moment we're going to sing Psalm 4. Psalm 3, let me give a little context to that. We sang that a few moments ago. The context here is when David's fleeing from Absalom. We know that from the heading over the psalm. David's fleeing for his life from his own son. And as he's doing so, and he reflects back upon that, this is what he writes in verse 5. He says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You would think if there's ever a night that's sleepless for David, it would be this night. It seems as if not just his son, but almost the whole of Israel has turned against him, and he's running for his life. And what does David say? I laid me down and slept. Not because I was so exhausted I had to sleep, but he knows this, for the Lord sustained me. He wasn't living in fear. He was living in the knowledge of God. Psalm 4 is similar as well. Sometimes I'll read these psalms with people the night before they go into a surgery, and it's going to be hard to get some sleep that night. But we read in Psalm 4, verse 4, stand on, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. And then in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Here's how we sleep when we're facing giants and enemies in our lives. We know that the Lord makes us to dwell in safety. That's what gives us peace. Now I realize it's not always that easy. I know that for myself too. But this is what we teach our children as well. Trusting in the Lord results in fearlessness and peace. We're not living in fear, which is self-preserving. We're not trying to find our own way in dealing with the enemies that we face and the hard things that we face in our lives. We're seeking to do this in faith. We're not trying to find our own escapes from these giants. And the world provides many of them and says, oh, try this and try that and look at this. The Word of God directs us up to our God and says, we find our safety, we find our refuge in Him. So may we learn as parents and as adults to live in this kind of peace, trusting in God. And may we impart this to our children as well, that there is an answer to the fears, there is an answer to the dangers that we face in our lives. Keep thinking about the greatness of God. You are safe when He is your God. May God help us to live in that. And may God help us to teach one another that as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're weak. So often we live in fear because we know our own weakness. And we fail to see Thee and Thy great power and Thy amazing love. We're thankful that these things are set before us today. May this truth, may this wisdom give us fearlessness as we live our lives and as we face giants in our lives. Help us to see what those giants, those struggles, those enemies are. And may we know the victory has been accomplished through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that victory is ours. So grant us strength to live each day in victory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.